This morning we're going to begin a little differently. I want to read the passage that the Lord has laid on my heart today. Then we will pray and ask His blessing on it. And then we will speak from that passage. If you will turn with me in God's holy word to the fourth chapter of Zechariah. About a month ago, we came to the third chapter and we saw the fourth vision that Zechariah had. All eight visions came in the same night. You can imagine what kind of night it was for Zechariah. This morning we will be discussing the fifth vision, which comes in the totality of the fourth chapter. As I said, we will read it first and then ask the Lord's blessing. "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is waked out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again, and I said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, we come to Thy holy word this morning, a vision given long, long, long time ago to one of Thy dear prophets. Lord, we know that it was written this day for our instruction. We know, Lord, that it was written for the good of Thy people. Lord, I pray that in this hour, that You would open up this vision, that we would see Him. That You would open up Thy Word, and it would testify this day of the volume of the book that is written of Him. Lord, I pray that Thy Spirit would be upon us today to lead us, to instruct us in Your righteousness. And Lord, may all the thoughts of this world, may all the cares, may all the things that would keep our mind from Thy holy word and from Thy speaking today be far from this place. I pray, O Lord, that You would bind the strong man and cast him out, that You would put a hedge about this place today, that Thy word, Thy truth would be preserved here for the edification of Thy church, and for Thy holy name, the glorifying of Thy holy name. Go before us, O Lord. Feed us now by Thy Word. I ask that You be with me now to anoint my lips, to take all of myself away. And Lord, may You empty Thy Spirit into me, that I be emptied and be filled with Thee. Bless this day, O Lord, to Thy praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I said at the beginning of the message, this now is the fifth vision given to Zechariah in one night. Zechariah was a prophet called of the Lord. He was called at a very troublesome time. A time that we have preached, that I have preached up probably in the last couple of years, in the time that Nehemiah and Ezra had led the people back from captivity. And the Lord called, and if you remember at that time, Nehemiah had two very important enemies that we talked about, Sanballat and Tobiah. And they're the same enemies that Zechariah is talking about today, some. We saw back then that they were picturing Satan, how Satan comes and attacks his people. He's relentless, and he's seeking to devour. And we saw how the Lord said, I will fight for you. Today, this vision comes at the same time. This vision comes to Zechariah, and you have to picture what's going on with him. In one night, he has already had four visions. He has had four close communing times with the Lord. And now the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him again. And this is the fifth time. The fifth time in one night. And in the first verse we see, and the angel that talked with me, that's the Lord, he came again and he waked me as a man that is waked out of his sleep. And we see the frailty of our flesh. Because we understand, and we understand when we go back to the garden that night, that the disciples wanted to stay awake. The Lord asked them to stay awake, but they couldn't. Because the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. Zechariah now had nodded back off. There was not a lot of time between the two visions, between the fourth and the fifth vision. But Zechariah, exhausted, as the Lord had spoken to him four times, and now here on the fifth time, we find him asleep. And the Lord says, and he came and he waked him. And he waked him gently because he's not done with Zechariah. And Zechariah now will be given this fifth vision. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon by Don Fortner. And he said he was asked the week before in giving his sermon that week, somebody come up after him and asked him, who was it that that the message was intended to at that time that you were preaching at? And Fortner looked at him and he said, well, if it's not for you and me today, every message that's in the Word of God, we don't need to be concerned with when it was written, who it was written to, because the total Word of God, the volume of the Scriptures, are of Him. And to His people today, they speak to His people. They speak and they nourish their souls. And I pray that this vision does the same for you today. So in Zechariah 4, now we move to verse 2. And the angel said unto me, what seest thou? What is it now, Zechariah? I've just woke you up out of a dead sleep. What is it that you see, the vision that I've given you? And I said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold. This candlestick is the same candlestick that we see in Revelation. In fact, a lot of things that you'll see here today are mentioned again in Revelation. The candlestick that we're told in Revelation is the church. There's no difference here. The goldness signifies that it is something precious to the Lord because it's a gold candlestick. But it's standing there. And the golden behold, a golden candlestick, all of gold, but there was a bowl on top of it. The bowl had its purpose It was to hold the oil. With a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon. Upon this candlestick there were seven lamps. But there was a bowl that sat above the seven lamps. With a bowl upon the top of it and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, like conduit. The pipes would run from the bowl and they would run to the lamp. So the only way the lamp would burn is from the oil that come through the bowl. You see where I'm headed with this? The vision that the Lord would give Zechariah is so important to us today. It's so important to us today because we have the same enemies. We have the same enemies that the people of God had at this time. We'll talk more about that when we get there. But now we have a bowl, we have a golden candlestick, a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. The most significant thing to me in this vision, as we unfold this vision and we talk about what it is, as the Lord reveals what the purpose of this vision is, there's something missing in this vision. There's no man in this vision. There's no hand of man in this vision. And that ain't the totality of it. Because it goes on in verse 3, and two olive trees by it. There was an olive tree on the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So picture this. We have two huge olive trees. And they're standing over, and they're over, and they're surrounding the candlestick, and they're surrounding the bowl, and they're surrounding the lamps. So Zechariah answered, and he spake to the angel that talked. And maybe he says the same thing that we say today. What are these, my Lord? And sure, as I am standing here, there's no way for us to know today unless the Spirit instructs us. Zechariah, in holy communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, knows nothing. Caught up to his fifth vision, has already had four visions, has already had the Lord speak to him, has already had the Lord reveal things to him, but he's helpless. He still has no innate knowledge. He still has no understanding of what this spiritual vision is. It's humbling. It's humbling to see in that respect that a prophet called of God, awoken for the fifth time, and still can't see something. What is it, Lord? What is it, Lord, what are these, my Lord? I'm at your mercy. I'm totally dependent upon the revelation of Thy Spirit. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? It's gentle. It's a gentle reproof to show what verse 6 is going to tell us. Verse 6 is going to tell us what the whole vision is about. But he says to Zechariah, you don't know? And it's gentle to show us that the conviction of the Spirit comes and says, I'm nothing without Him. I can see nothing. I can live nothing. I can have nothing without Him. The angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And as humbly as Zechariah could say, with conviction in his voice of the sin of not knowing, I said, No, my Lord. See, Zechariah shows us over and over again in this whole 14 verses his total dependency on the renewing of the Holy Spirit. His total dependency on the vine. His total dependency on the head. The total dependency upon his Lord. as He comes again, you would think that by now He was starting to understand some of the visions. But we just can't. It doesn't matter how much the Lord communes with us. We always stand in need of His anointing. We stand in need of His sufficiency. We stand in need of His everything, His all in all. No, Lord, humbly and humility. Brother Paul's been preaching about the gospel of humility. It's found here in Zechariah. No, my Lord, I don't know. I'm not going to feign an answer. I'm not going to puff myself up that I have knowledge. I'm not going to say that I know that I'm a great prophet of yours. I know nothing. It had to be very humbling. Then He answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." Well, I guess it's time we find out who He is. As the people were led back, we saw a month ago, we talked about Joshua being the priest of the people. He was. Well, Zerubbabel was the governor or the king. As we unfold these two chapters, we've seen a priest and a king. We've seen a priest and a king that are not perfect. But we have seen a priest and a king that is perfect. And we will see more of him in this verse. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who said to Zerubbabel, who is under, as I mentioned earlier, those two enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah. They had come and they had mocked the people of God over and over again. There were other enemies. The Samaritans were enemies to them. They were a small people that were returned to their land. They had a lot of people against them. And Zerubbabel was to the point now, he was ready to fight. He was tired of being oppressed. He was tired of being picked on, if you will. He was tired of being laughed at. And Zerubbabel was at wit's end. And it was time for him to raise up. And he wanted to gather the people together to fight, to rid the land of all of the enemy. But see, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. Our warfare is against spiritual wickedness in high places. And praise be to God, we have this answer. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, "Not by might." No, Zerubbabel, not by thy hand. Not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Once again, to Almighty Man, it is very humbling to be cast upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit is a humbling act. It brings us down before the feet of Christ. In this passage, in these two chapters, as I mentioned and hinted at, we saw Christ, the great priest, with Joshua. We saw Christ make him clean. We saw over in chapter 3, we saw that the branch would be brought forth. And now in this passage, we have Zerubbabel. We have the king. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as king. But we know that there's a third part to that. He is our great priest. He is our great king. But He's also our great prophet. And in this whole passage, He is teaching. He is fulfilling His prophetic office to us today. Because it is, thus saith the Lord. The Lord says that we will do nothing in our might. We will do nothing in our power. But only by His Spirit. I jotted down two verses this morning. Romans 9:16 says, "So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." That's what he's telling. The Apostle Paul and Zechariah and the vision that the Lord has given to Zechariah is the same thing he gave to Paul. It's not of the man who's mighty. It's not of you who willeth. And we know that left to ourselves, we wouldn't will that. No, it's by my Spirit. And the second verse I jotted down came from 1 Thessalonians 5:24. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." What a comforting verse that is. When I look into my insufficiency, as many of you know, in 2 days, Lord willing, I'll be 40 years old. And the older I get, and the more I understand about the sufficiency of Christ, the less sufficiency I see in myself. My insufficiency I see daily. As my body breaks down, as I get older, I can't do the things I used to do as vibrantly as I did. Keep showing me over and over. My sufficiency is in Him. Speaking to one of the saints this week, they said to me, "It's what I long to hear. I long to hear the sufficiency of Christ. I long to hear it in the Word. I long to hear it preached. That's what I want to hear." I understand that. I understand that because of Hebrews 4:9 that says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." There will come a time in every child of God's life that he will be humbled and he will be taught by the great prophet. And not only will he be taught, but he will be made to lie down in the green pasture of Jesus Christ. And all the weapons of the flesh and all the carnal things that we rise and cling to will die. And that is part of dying to self. It's in that time that we understand that there is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest that the rest of that, the next verse says, "And they will cease from their works." They will cease and lay down and see truly that it's all of Him. And that's the important part of this vision, is that it's all of Him. There is no hand of man in this. If you haven't put it together yet, the two trees that stand beside are the Lord Jesus Christ. Two trees, because one had to be on each side to totally engulf and encompass the golden candlestick. The golden candlestick is the church. The lamp and the bowl is what the Lord empties His Spirit into. The light that comes is only comes from the light, the olive oil that comes through the conduit and into the light. What light do we bear? The child of God is told to let their light shine, and thus glorify the Father's name, and thus glorify the Father in heaven. Let your light shine. But that light is illumined by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's Christ's Spirit. It's Christ's Spirit that lives within us, that exalts His name. And as the two trees empty into the bowl, and as the two trees, which we'll see here at the end of this vision, there's two branches that come from these two trees. But there's many branches. And that shows us again what John told us. That I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And the oil must be emptied into those. It must be squeezed out into those. And see how it's all of the Lord. It's all of the trees that are filled with this Spirit. They're filled with this oil. And as they empty into the vessel, and then they're showered down onto the candlestick. And that's the only way the candlestick has light. You take away the tree, you have no light. You take away the bowl that holds the oil, you have no light. You have the tree, you have the candlestick. Without the bowl, you have no light. This is how the Lord works. This is the sufficiency of our Savior. And that constant running of oil is the fountain. Oh, what a fountain it is. It's a fountain of blood to be washed in. It's a fountain of the graces of the Spirit that we spoke about the last time. The fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ living in His people. And it comes and it comes and it comes. And we, through our own hardness and through our own sin, may quench that Spirit. We may put a wall up, but it's our wall. That's what the Song of Solomon teaches us. The Lord doesn't flee from us. We flee from Him. We close the door. The Lord is ever-present help to us in our time of need, in our time of life. And I'll tell you something. Every minute of your life is a time of need. Every minute you wake up in the morning is a time of need. You may not see it. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Lord in His sufficiency, and the Lord Jesus Christ in His being everything. And we're enjoined to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're risen with Him, walk ye in Him. There's a sufficiency there. Because it's Him, as 1 Thessalonians tells us. It's Him who does it. I used to worry about the call. I used to worry about being called. I used to scurry around in my younger days. Lord, what is it I must do for You? Just I can't ever get away from those three words. It is finished. Oh, there's a great rest there for the people of God. To say it is finished. It's finished. Well, Zerubbabel, what are you going to do now? We have an answer to the vision. We can see the sufficiency of Christ in the vision. And now I have you these words to tell Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by My Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the answer to our enemies. Verse 7 begins with a question. Who art thou, O great mountain? What's your mountain today? Is your mountain unbelief? Is your mountain an affliction? Is your mountain a secret sin? Is your mountain anger? Is your mountain the cares of this world? Is your mountain the riches of this world? Is your mountain titles in this world? Oh, there's great mountains. There's great burdens that we have in this life. But the Lord Jesus Christ asked this question. Who art thou, O great mountain? Who art thou? Who art thou that can stand against My people with My Spirit? Who art thou? Who art thou that could separate them from My love? Who art thou that can take away My blessings from My children? Is it Satan? Can he separate us? He'll do all he can to do it. But can he? Ask yourself, reckon that this morning. Can he separate me from the love of My Savior? Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. I will put you under My feet. Remember what He told Nehemiah? I will fight for you. If our Lord doesn't go before us, there'll be no conquering. There'll be no putting down of the enemy, because you won't fight him in your own strength. You'll try, and you'll lose. Oh, but faithful is he that calleth us to this war. Faithful is he that calleth us to this mountain. Because he'll do it. And all of that armor that we are enjoined to put on is put on not by our power, not by our might, but by his Spirit. What mountain could stand today against the elect? Who can make any charge against the elect? No one, if you're justified in Christ. And all of his are. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he, Zerubbabel, he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. A headstone. Now, we don't think of a headstone being Christ. We think of a cornerstone that the whole foundation is built on. But let me ask you something. When the foundation is built, what goes on the top? What is the head of the church? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the head of the candlestick? The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He is the headstone. And as Zerubbabel now, who is now Christ-centered, because Christ's Spirit has entered into him, because he is in Christ, he comes forward and he says, no mountain will stand. Every enemy will be, because I'm more than a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shall bring forth the headstone. And you know how I'm going to say it got there? I'm going to say, look how mighty I am. No. I'm going to say, look how this event fell out. No. I'm going to say, look how my friends joined with me and we lifted up this headstone. No. I'm going to say grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'll lead these people. By the grace of God, this headstone will be lifted up, because it's by His grace alone. It's a beautiful saying. It's a beautiful saying to see that even in Zechariah, long before the incarnation of Christ, Jesus told His people of His sufficiency and their insufficiency. And not only that, He told them it wouldn't be by the law, and it wouldn't be in all those ordinances, and it won't be in sacrifices. It'll be by grace and grace alone. As if that's not enough to this vision, there's one more little nugget of gold in it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, listen to me, Zechariah, I've got to tell you something. 15 years this foundation has been set now, as the people have been returned back to their land. 15 years they have built the foundation, and not one more stone has been built upon that. For 15 years they have put up with the ridicule. They have put up with the mocking. They have put up with all of the laughing and the jeering for 15 years. And now the Lord says to Zechariah, He says, Zechariah, tell Zerubbabel, of the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. There it is again. It's finished in Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, Zerubbabel. He will do it. And He's going to deliver you, and He's going to deliver the people, and He's going to deliver them, and they're going to rebuild this temple. Because that's what the Lord said for them to do. And if the Lord calls you to do it, He's faithful to do it. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. The Lord of hosts? That's the Father. The Father has sent the Son to speak to you. The Father has sent the Son to tell His people that they have eternal life in Him. And the Son said, I have come to do my Father's will. I'm about my Father's business. I'm here to glorify the name of my Father. What are you here for? Glorify your name? Then the question. You have to understand, this question comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes directly to our souls today. Who has despised the day of small things? Who? The Lord's not asking that to Sanballat and Tobiah. They are the ones standing there. They don't want the temple built. There's others, the Samaritans on the outside. They don't want the temple built. There's all these other tribes around. They don't want the temple built. But that question doesn't come to them. It comes to the people of God. You despise the day of small. Who has despised the day of small things? Who has despised this foundation? And let me tell you, all the mocking, as I said earlier, it was by the covenant people of God. It was by Israel that was returned to their land. They were the ones mocking. They were the ones saying, this is nowhere near the temple that we had. Oh, this isn't good enough. Oh no, I despise this small thing that God has given us. Do you? And I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about your spiritual life. See, we have a searching question here because it's to the people of God. Do you despise the small things that come into your life? Do you sit back and you murmur and complain when God's providence brings something into your life? Because the last time I looked and the last time we've quoted that verse in Romans 8:28, it's all things work to good. The big and the small. Every day God's providence works in our life. And how many times does the providence bring a hardship, a trial? A tribulation. Do you despise it? But now let's go a little deeper. Let's go a little deeper into the soul. Do you despise the little faith? Do you say to God, Lord, I don't have the gift that one does. I don't speak like that one. I don't sing like that one. Lord, I don't have the faith they have. Do you have a little faith? Because that little faith is a gift of God. Do you have a little grace of the Spirit, of joy? Because that's a gift of God. See, it's such a subtle thing to have our eyes set upon ourselves. We do it, and as soon as we hear somebody say something, we immediately bring it to ourselves. They'll say something happened in their life. We'll be sitting there, now, does that happen to mine? We'll hear something here in the Word of God. We'll immediately start to say, did this happen in mine? And you should. You should examine yourself. But don't despise the small working of the Lord. Oh, don't despise what He's begun. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you
will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day of Christ in your life is all that's in your life. And it'll come if He's begun the work. Matthew, the Lord said in Matthew, a bruised reed shall He not break, a smoking flax shall He not quench. A bruised reed, one who is trodden down under sin, one who's depressed under the weight of sin. I want to tell you something about our Savior. He won't break you. The bruised reed, He'll bind up. The smoking flax, He won't quench. As the fires of hell are after you, as you see how far short you fall before God, as you see how far short and what a sinner you are before this holy, magnificent Lord, He won't quench the smoking flax till He show forth judgment and victory. It's all of Him. It's all about Him. And life in Christ Jesus is a surrendering and being made to lie down and lovingly doing it because He loved you first. For those for who has despised the day of small things, they shall rejoice. What? Lord, You don't destroy them for their unbelief? You don't destroy them for their anger? You don't destroy them for mocking? No. They will rejoice. And they'll see the plummet, the measuring rod. They'll see it in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. They'll see the completeness. They'll see the perfection of what the Lord has given them. And they will rejoice in it. There'll be no more murmuring. There'll be no more complaining. They'll see victory in Christ Jesus. And if this wasn't enough for poor Zechariah, he's still in the dark. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And we've answered that. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ as priest and king, if you will. And I answered again, and I said unto him, what be these two olive branches? Here's the beauty of it. Which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. What are these? Now I see two branches coming down. What are the two branches that come forth from the trees? And he answered me, and he said, knowest thou not what these be? You haven't understood anything yet? You don't know what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Still showing his insufficiency. Lord, I still need You. I still need the light of Thy Spirit. Because I just don't understand. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones. For this vision, it's Zerubbabel and it's Joshua. The two that the Lord has anointed to lead them. These are the two anointed ones. See, the branches are saturated by the oil. They're part of the tree. As He is the vine and we are the branches. But it also signifies the gospel preachers. The true ministers of God today who are saturated with the truth. And it's the constant work of the Holy Spirit in the church. He doesn't leave the church without a teacher and without a preacher. His gospel rings true for His remnant throughout all the ages. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I'd like to close today by going to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Love this end of this passage. It speaks of the wisdom of God. For today, though, I'll just start in verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Do you despise that? Do you despise the day of small things? Do you despise the weak and the base things of the world and the things which are despised? Wow. These are the things the world looks down on because they look for might and they look for power. And the only might and power is in the head, is in Christ alone. And base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. See, that vision that we saw today, that's why it's beautiful. There's no man in it. And that's by design, that all glory goes to our Lord, the triune God. All glory is His. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, of the Lord Jesus Christ, are ye in Him. Of Him are ye in Him. Of the Father's election are you in My Son. Of the dying work of Christ are you saved in Him. Of the sealing of the Holy Spirit, are you sealed in Him? Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, because we don't have any. Righteousness, because we don't have any that is acceptable. And sanctification, because it's all of Him and all of the grace growth of His grace and His knowledge, and redemption, because He has purchased a people, an unworthy people, who are now worthy in the Lamb. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What is it you glory in? You glory in something you do? You glory in your works? You glory in life? My hope is you glory in the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, most gracious and holy Lord, Lord, I pray that this rest that we have in Thy Son, that Thy dear people would enter into that rest, cease from their labors. And Lord, may we see Thee. May we live upon Thee and Thee alone. Bless this word, Lord, to nourish the souls of Thy people. Lord, may You remove any of me. And Lord, may it be all of You. I thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word and Thy faithfulness. O Lord, glorify Thy name. Glorify Thy name above all other names, in our lives and in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.